Well, that was a fun little pick-me-up song, right? Alrighty. Today we are in the book of Isaiah. We started out our first reading in chapter 12. For the message, we're going to be in chapter 65. And I'm going to be reading verses 17 through 25. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 728. So Isaiah chapter 65, starting in verse 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain, or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we look at this passage and this time of year and all the Old Testament passages we have been going through these past several months now, it's all coming to a head, right? We're seeing where this is going. And we see and look forward to the hope that God is bringing. And as we look at a lot of these Old Testament passages, we have to remember one thing, because I keep preaching to you, context, 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 right? We have to read and understand how the original audience would hear a message. And then we look at it from the New Testament's perspective, and we can apply what God is doing in the Old Testament to our lives and going forward. See, some things have like a partial fulfillment waiting for a complete fulfillment. And we see a little bit of that in this passage, because we can look at passages like in Revelation, specifically chapter 21. If you want to read through that, it talks about how New Jerusalem is descending from heaven, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and that's the fulfillment of these passages. But you also see within this passage, the verses number 20, where it talks about how if someone dies at 100, less than 100, they'll be considered accursed. And you're like, wait a second, I thought in heaven there was no death. Well, this is talking partial fulfillment and then complete fulfillment. As the original hearers of this would understand, after the exile, They come back into land, and God has restored a nation, and he'll bless a nation, but then we also have to look forward into what our future is going to be with the new heavens and new earth, the second coming of Jesus Christ. See, they had no idea about Jesus at this point, and they had no idea what God was going to do. But in our context, we do know. We have the whole Bible. We have Revelation that tells us what's going on. So we have to understand how Old Testaments would hear this, and then understand how God anticipated us reading these passages in knowing what we know now. So it does get a little confusing at times, and that's a conversation for more of a Bible study to really get into all the nitty-gritty details, but just kind of have that in the back of your mind. A lot of Old Testament prophecy, there is some partial fulfillments waiting for a full fulfillment, and we all know the full fulfillment of everything is in Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate once-for-all sacrifice. So, that's a lot of groundwork, but we need that to kind of get into the message of where we're going. So as we look at this passage specifically, when God repeats himself, it's time for us to perk up our ears and listen and dive into what God is saying. In the first couple of verses, what is God saying? He says, I will create. I will create, I will create, and then I will rejoice. What does that sound like to you? Go back to, think back to Genesis, the creation story of how God created the stars, he created the earth, he created the animals, he created us, and then on the seventh day, he stepped back and he said, it is very good. He rejoiced in his creation. So again, God is going to create the new heavens, the new earth that has been broken by sin. And he will be glad and rejoice forever in what he created. Now, what you don't see here is a conditional clause of God saying, well, if you people do this, then I will create. If you're good enough for this, then I'll rejoice. You don't see that conditional clause. There's a lot of instances in scriptures where God says, I am going to do this. That's it. He creates. He forgives. He set out on this mission of restoring his people. He set out to destroy sin. If you think back into the garden, I keep going back to Genesis because if you look in verse 25, it says, but the dust will be the serpent's food. God is saying, look, this happened back in the fall. And the serpent deceived, and he was cursed. He's still going to be cursed. I'm going to recreate. And God is bringing about this salvation history because of his grace and mercy. What is grace? We talked about this a couple weeks back on Reformation Sunday, how grace is an undeserved gift. Through God's grace and mercy, he looked down and said, this is broken. You people cannot follow my will and my way because your hearts are diseased. Find that in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It talks about the heart being diseased. It has no, it can't be healed. And when he talked about that, the phrasing he uses is like a medical terminology of a terminal illness that can't be healed. That's what sin is in our hearts. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. Wipe away those sins so the Holy Spirit could come in and regenerate our hearts. You see, he is the creator. He takes it upon himself to create. He takes upon himself to rejoice in his people. As he says in verse 22, "For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands." You see, God, he is sovereign. He is the one who is the author of all creation, the author of salvation history. And as we look at this, we can take comfort in knowing that we don't have to save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. God said, "I'm going to save you." And he did. We could go into John 3 in verses 16 and 17. Everyone knows John 3:16. Go on to 17. "He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world, because the world was already condemned because they didn't know Jesus." We're already condemned. God said, "I'm not going to leave you in that. I will send this Son. I will create. I will curse the serpent." He promised way back in Genesis 3 that from the seed of Eve would come the offspring to stomp on the serpent's head. You see, the Lord is working out his salvation history. To what end? To redeem you. To reconcile you to himself. For what? For eternity and glory. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Eternity in the glorious presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, we've been going through this trek through the Old Testament, looking at the judgments, but the grace and the mercy, the exiles, but the reconciliation and redemption. That is how we look forward to Jesus. And we're coming up soon on the season of Advent, when we look at the hope, the peace, joy, and love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save us. Who came to save us so that we will be reconciled to the Father. And what's interesting, when considering what the new creation will be like, it says the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. Now, the same type of words are in the book of Revelation, and also in the New Testament, Paul talks about there'll be no death. Where he talks in 1 Corinthians 15, death, where is your sting? Where is your power? You see, in Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God promised it in Isaiah. He promised it in Revelation. God's promises come true. So what do we do with this? We praise God. We thank God. And then we go tell it on the mountain. Isn't it wonderful how all those songs come together, how all these different scripture passages make one cohesive, epic love story of God's salvation history? Did you ever think you'd hear a sermon that contained Genesis, Isaiah, Revelation, Corinthians, John? It all goes together. A God story of reconciliation, redemption, creation, so that your loving Father can wrap you in his arms, pull you close. Think of that imagery. Just a loving Father holding his children. That's our Holy Father. Through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And do we keep that wonderful news to ourselves? No. As we get close to Christmas, it's one of those seasons where even the most hard-hearted person starts to look around and go, "That's some beautiful lights. That's a beautiful tree." Where the veil becomes very thin. And we can just reach out to, maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend that you've known for a long time who just doesn't know Jesus. This is the time of year to reach out. Invite him to Thanksgiving dinner. Take him out for a coffee. Just to say, "I love you." Then the hearts will soften. Then you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The love that you have known, that you have felt, the Holy Spirit that resides within you. There's no better time than now. So we're not promised tomorrow. God has created. God has sent his Son. God will create because his promises always come true. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful word. We praise you and thank you for your grace and mercy not leaving us in our brokenness. Father, we cannot express enough our gratitude. But help us to take that message out. Let our praise of thanksgiving be going out to those who don't know you, who have fallen away. Lord, embolden us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to gather your children and to build your body of Christ. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.